Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
working on a research paper. And I've really never had one which I've worked on for as long and as hard as this particular one. Now, there's several reasons for it. One is that you've got to sort of like building a house on a beach with the surf coming in, things get washed away, mentally washed away, and you have to sort of build it again and again. And you build it one way, it falls down, you build it the other way, it falls down. You've got some sort of rigorous things, some prototypes that you have up there, some knowledge, some things that you've tested up to see that it's going. Yeah. Other things are falling down. You write it up once and it's, writing up extends to help you do the research. It doesn't help you do the paper and stuff like that. And so essentially I've got it up to a point where I write up in a Word document, and this Word 365, whatever that stands for, has the ability to go text to audio, so you listen to that over and over again, and quite literally you listen to something hundreds of times and finally tweak the words so that they sound understandable. And that one wonders whether as a mental thing, an unknown mental stuff, that your ability to produce words is just such a low fraction. So it's like I think it started off digitally enhanced science demonstrations, but now turned off science demonstrations presented by an expert in the box. Yeah, one doesn't know how it goes through. Now, it comes to the other aspect of it, is that once you're off the Goodwill marker, and it's a terribly time-consuming thing to read someone else's research paper, understand it, and actually put feedback on it. And of course, people practically, they have time for young people, for which they're going to get paid and they're going to produce degrees and stuff like that. We have your supervisor situation. But for situations for which you don't have this, you're just really left on your own. It's sort of, it's hard to say, you can sort of imagine a degree course as a light surf life-saving carnival. Sort of appears at a section of beach between the flags, and you get in there, have a bit of a play. There's the entire music and band, surf lifesavers there, and a whole lot of people in the surf. And then years later, are in another section of isolated beach all by yourself, and there is no one there whatsoever. So you have to keep on producing it over and over and over again. And the complexity here is that some of the problems you have are exactly that people have walked away and found it's all too hard. It's much easier just to turn up and get some money, and essentially that's what I think a lot of the teachers are doing. They're teaching, and understanding what they're teaching is just too hard. It's much easier just to waffle on, turn up to work each day, get park, greet everyone, listen to the bell, walk into the class, waffle in, not educate anyone, walk out and get some money. And that is a lifestyle decision. It's sort of like getting homeless people interested in home renovation. They haven't got an intellectual home to renovate. It's sort of like this bizarre situation. They are the intellectually homeless people, and you're sort of walking amongst them in this very isolated way. Now, I'm saying this as petrol prices have dropped down to $1.28.7. Does that mean anything to you in the United States or Britain? You have to understand the Australian dollar is. But that's a welcome relief in terms of cost. Yeah, so I'm gradually fighting through this, and there are these contextual problems in that basically the way forward is several steps forward. One is quantum mechanics, the other is computer games, the one is technology, it's a whole blanket of different things, and of course this type of technology is not sprouted off by the incremental sort of one step, it's a multiple step at multiple directions at one time, and the steps are multiple directions and multiple steps. One is to sort of realize that people, it's sort of this complex problem. It is not like an engineering problem, it's a problem, it's a mental problem. These people have decided that quantum mechanics is too hard to teach, they're going to teach some sort of bastardized form of it all, and it's almost like formula. I wish I could get out there. I'll give a termite story about what I think is going on in a second. So I'm going to go into the shop to buy the milk, and I'll be back in no time whatsoever. Continuing for a while, we're looking at writing research papers. Obviously, I stop and start these podcasts. So I go to the various shops and do these small errands or drop in on people and stuff like that. You can sort of see sort of fairly lackadaisical life that I'm living. Look, the question is that why are some of these issues so complex? Well, it's fundamentally like if you want to explain the motion of stars and planets without gravity, it's really complex. You get this extreme complexity of sort of superstructures to explain things, doing things in a sort of a rather unusual pattern. There's not a simple explanation of it. So if you want to explain chemistry without complex numbers, if you want to what has happened is that we've written at the end of the day an algebraic equation to explain everything, and it is an algebraic equation, and the algebraic equation is not solved with natural numbers. So natural numbers are things where you've got the simple operators, but if you have squares, as soon as you have the square of something, you have the square root of a negative number, you have complex numbers, you have algebraic equations. And algebraic equations have algebraic numbers. There are other numbers besides algebraic numbers, which are accessible. There's transcendental numbers and all this type of stuff. But the moment you have it, and then you say, well, I wonder how that goes. It's sort of like you're coming home and everyone's on drugs and stuff like that, and that's the story. But your parents, the people that you're talking to, the police, know nothing of drugs. I wonder how that goes along. I wonder how that's going to pan out. Because it doesn't pan out simple. And human history is rather complex, isn't it? In terms of, it wasn't just a simple thing of Galileo, Pope, here, have a squiz down my telescope. Have a look at that, mate. Done. It wasn't like that, because there was all this complexity that people, it's not so much what they wouldn't like science, it's what they have, the dreadfully complex world they've built up there. And so research papers are designed to just tick along. They're designed to go into the research space, to be read by research scientists, to be quoted by research scientists. They're not designed to actually go in there and actually fight this bizarro. So essentially these people are going, well, I'm not going to have any algebraic numbers, no algebraic, it's an algebraic equation, it just happens to be there, but no, we can solve it. You know, it's exceptionally soluble. You know, quantum mechanics is very soluble in terms of almost any molecule, anything that we have, we can measure it and get its features exactly, you know, without the the slightest, you know, the smallest bump and all that sort of stuff, it's the amount of hand waving quantum mechanics is really, really low. In fact, there is none. And if you see a teacher has got some major role as a hand waver, it's trying to explain, well, look, sorry, your business model is stuffed. Hand waving, we really don't have to employ you as a hand waver. It's all over, Red Rover. You can go home now. Pack up your gear. Pack up your gear and off you go. Oops, going around checking that I'm not going to crash the car. Going around here. So there's all these aspects making it a particularly complicated and thorny issue. And the bottom line is that if I don't try, it's not that trying is bad. There's really no one there supporting you. So it really is like going out and swimming in a lonely beach against these big breakers, and you're trying to sort of swim to an island, and you're realizing that a lot of people have lost the plot. There's people out there, you sort of are picking up these things, observing it, and saying, oh, look, this is an interesting way of describing it. I talk in an entertaining way, which will entertain one or two people for a short time in a short distance there. So that's sort of like trying to take a few furtive dog paddle strokes forward, and it's going to keep on pushing on. Now I'll have to get this milk back inside before the heat hits. It's only the external temperature here is only 31 degrees. What a joke. But I'll tell you what, it's very humid, and you can see the clouds, some of the clouds there. They've got this sort of slightly yellow tinge, which is the bushfires. So there's bushfires around the place, and at night the sun has a sort of a slight orange, goes a bit orangey before it goes down, sort of a sign that there's bushfires about the place. Thanks for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.